Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today on The Brian Lehrer Show, what's wrong with New York City 911? We'll hear the very troubling results of a WNYC report, including some 911 call tapes that show some of the problems in very personal terms. Also today, we'll follow up on former Senator Jim Webb's appearance here yesterday, in which he decidedly kept the door open to running against Hillary Clinton in the primaries.
I'm taking this a day at a time.
And with the World Cup soccer tournament soon to begin in Brazil amid construction problems and protests, New York Times sports columnist George Vesey today on the beauty and the dark side of the world's favorite sport. But first, the problems with New York City 911. Problems like this one. When a woman called 911 to report the Metro North derailment last year, but fire trucks arrived at the wrong place, her home instead of the tracks.
I thought it was odd, but I just assumed that they thought to come here first. I mean, I have to assume that once they pulled up and saw the slope behind my house that was not accessible, that they realized it and moved on to the right place.
Joining me now in the studio are investigative reporter Robert Garrity and WNYC reporter Bridget Bergen, who have been reporting on this story based on call records. Good morning, both of you.
Good morning.
Morning.
And Bridget, talk us through that problem with the Metro North response. What happened? Did they go to pick her up?
Well, that voice you heard was Rebecca Sherman, and she was told that she made one of the first 911, if not the first 911 call when that Metro North train derailment happened. She lives on Palisade Avenue. The apartment, as she describes in that bit of tape, is set up on a hill, kind of on a cliff that overlooks the Metro North train tracks. So that Sunday morning, you know, they were lying in bed and heard this screeching. She described it as an epically loud metal-on-metal noise. And, you know, she and her husband, Bill, sprung from their bed, looked out their window, and saw the train actually in the process of derailing, and immediately called 911. And she described the process of calling 911, that sense of adrenaline when the operator answers and says, 911, what's your emergency? And she said what she did was describe exactly what she saw out her window. That, you know, there was white smoke, that this train was off the tracks, and that they asked her location, and she gave her address. And she stayed on the phone. They brought a fire operator on the phone. But ultimately, a few minutes later, when emergency responders first showed up on the scene, she was surprised. And as she said in that clip, she thought it was odd because those fire trucks showed up on Palisade Avenue outside of her home.
Now, I see in your report that this is supposed to be about a system known as UCT, Unified Call Taking. But that sounds like it might have been human error. Somebody heard her, and instead of saying go to the location of the track, they told somebody to go to her house. What did happen?
So one of the issues with this Unified Call Taking system is that the 911 operator is responsible for conducting that initial interview when someone calls with an emergency and entering that information into their computer system, which then gets sent on a dispatch ticket immediately electronically out to the fire department. That's that first source of information for the fire department to respond to, for them to, you know, determine how to respond, what equipment to bring, and where to go. In this case, the dispatch ticket for this particular call shows that the information that was recorded was for a structural fire at this address.
So, Robert, talk about that system and how you think it may have contributed to that error.
Well, on that dispatch ticket also was a description of the building where the fire was supposed to be. This is what the fire union is complaining about, is that when you take a look at that ticket, you don't know what you're going to encounter. Now, the fire department says that nobody had complained before now about the response to this incident, but what the unions are complaining about is an incident like that where you're getting information that's wrong, you're being sent to wrong locations, it's going to delay response to the right location.
And WNYC has been given access to call data, including some 911 call tapes. We'll hear one in a minute. But given this by the Uniform Fire Officers Association, which you just referenced, Robert, what's the union's stake in this?
The union is the customers of this information, and they say they need accurate information because without that, it's a danger to their lives and it's a danger to New Yorkers, because if firefighters are showing up at wrong locations when a fire is burning, a fire can get much bigger by the time they get to the right location.
Listeners, if you have a 911 call story that you think informs this conversation, call in and tell us about it. 212-433-WNYC. Help us crowdsource this story. 212-433-9692. And we can definitely take calls from emergency responders of any kind as well, or from 911 call operators if any of you are listening right now. What's your reaction to the 911 problems that are surfacing more into public view now and the system overhaul that was actually canceled by Mayor de Blasio a few days ago because of problems with the overhaul? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And also, listeners, you can follow along on our website at WNYC.org. Three 911 calls are available, annotated with a map, so you can really see the confusion in some of the calls that come in. And we're going to play one of these clips or an excerpt from one of these clips right now, but we have three of them on our site. If you want to check them out yourself or kind of follow along as we play this, go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehr Show. Here's about a minute of the first call that Sister Denise Martin made to 911 on October 12th of last year about her convent on fire on Staten Island.
The house. We have an old house and it's burning down.
Okay, is this in Staten Island?
Staten Island.
What streets is that in between?
It's between Sand Lane and you have to take Highland Boulevard, make a right on Fingerboard, and a right on Columbia.
Okay, ma'am, are you sure the building number is 850?
Am I sure? It's 850. That's the school. They have to go past the school, go around, make a right on Fingerboard, a right on Columbia, but please hurry because it's coming.
Okay. That range number is not appropriate for me. So can you give me the cross street, Highland Boulevard, between what and what?
Highland Boulevard.
Are you inside the location that's on
fire,
ma'am?
Yes, I am.
Okay, ma'am. Tell me Highland Boulevard between what and what.
Wow. Was she starting to cough from smoke at the end of that, Bridget?
That's exactly what you're hearing. She's coughing. She was inside the location when she made that first call. And at the same time, she is trying to tell 911 about the fire. She knows that one of her sisters, Sister Regina, is on the second floor above. So she's worrying about this other nun who also needs help. If you go to our website and you look at those calls, what you'll see is at the same time Sister Denise has placed her initial call to 911, Sister Regina also calls 911 and tells the operator that, you know, she tells her tells the location, she talks about the fire, and she says that the situation is so bad that she's going to need to jump out of the second floor window. And, you know, it is very scary to listen to someone be in that type of situation and to face something that is feels like they're not getting the help they
need.
My
God, yes. And that was about a minute and 10 seconds into this call that goes on for 3 minutes and 20 seconds. And if listeners are thinking, oh, that 911 operator was so laid back or something like that, it was clear to me that she was having problems with the system. She was using a computer, and the computer that was supposed to, like a GPS, direct the fire trucks to the exact location, which sounded like it was behind a school and in between two obscure avenues, it wasn't finding it.
Yeah, I guess that's one of the problems that's come out, is that the fire department and the police department have their own computer systems, and with that they have their own address files. So that addresses that show up in a fire department computer system don't show up on a police department computer system. The 911 operator is obviously working hard, and she's professional about what she's doing, and she's trained to be calm, but there does seem to be a problem that she's not seeing something on her computer, and she's getting a little flummoxed about that.
Was there also a lack of urgency, or are they just trained to be kind of deadpan steady like that because that's actually the most productive thing to do for a quick response?
Yeah, I think it's to be professional, to be calm. If you remember from the time when they released calls from 9/11, how the operators handled themselves in that situation, where you had people in desperate
situations, yeah.
And they did
that same kind of calm.
Yes,
and
but
we did.
This was a calm that seemed to be turning into what's I can't help you.
I can't help you. I can't find your location to tell the fire trucks where to go.
We spoke with the head of the union for the 911 operators, and, you know, I think to be fair, these are civilians who work for the police department. They work a very stressful job. They work, you know, 24/7, 365 days of the year. They do get training to keep callers calm, because as you listen to that call, it does sound frustrating, but at the heart of it, it's the operator trying to get the information that she needs, that she's trained to get for her system. But clearly, as you said, Brian, the frustration that you feel is you think, okay, I can type 850 Highland into Google and find that location faster than it seems like this operator can find in the system that's in front of her.
And that's the crux of what the fire union is saying, is that these operators are taking calls, but on the other hand, you have fire dispatchers who are – all they do are handle fire calls, and so they're sort of being left out of the mix now under UCT.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, as we discuss the WNYC report on emerging problems with – how 911 works and the life and death consequences, with WNYC's Bridget Bergen and investigative reporter Robert Garrity. And John on Staten Island, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling in.
Okay.
Go ahead. I see you're a former 911 operator and supervisor.
Yeah, supervisor and an operator. I took calls and I actually trained operators also.
So what do you think, John? What can we learn from this?
The bottom line on the first instance with the train derailment, that was like put in as an improper code. If it was put in as a fire in a building, there are certain high level codes for plane crashes and train derailments that it should have been put in like that first. Also, the station can be listed in the system. Also, there's three ways to get an address, with the exact address as a street address and a number. As a cross street, which means you only need to know two streets, or as the third, as that operator was trying, give me your location. If you don't know your address, give me the other two streets that border your location. And a lot of people don't know that, but there's three ways to do it.
Go to that location, and it'll be the house that's burning.
Yeah, and
more or less. And also, we take the call, and we connect fire immediately after we get the first initial response that there was a fire involved, and they remain on the call with us.
But you're suggesting, John, that these cases were both instances of human error more than systemic deficiency?
No, the first one was human error.
The ticket?
The Metro North?
Yes, that was a call.
Oh, and now we're losing John. But interesting points. I want to go to another caller, a firefighter, Chris in Brooklyn. Chris, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. I just want to weigh in on this just from the front line. I'm a firefighter in Brooklyn for 9 years, and we frequently on a regular basis have issues with this UCP system. Just not only just getting the correct address location, but the nature of the type of call we're going to. And it's very disruptive compared to when we had dedicated fire dispatchers who would take the calls, who are intimately familiar with Brooklyn, how the fire companies operated, and really made things run a lot more smooth in getting us the proper information.
And I guess, John, anecdotally, we were hearing that prior to UCT, these types of errors were not occurring.
Chris, is that your experience on the front lines, that the UCT system has actually made things worse?
Absolutely. Without a doubt. There's, if you were to go into a firehouse and ask the opinion of the UCT system, anybody would tell you they would love to go back to the old way. The dedicated fire dispatchers / call takers at the time before UCT were excellent at their job and really took a lot of pride. But let me do preface that dispatchers do have a very difficult job trying to get the proper information. The breakdown seems to be where these dispatchers or the call takers now are just not as intimately familiar. They're trained, they're newer, they don't have the experience that our old dedicated fire dispatchers had.
Chris, thank you. Very valuable input.
And one of the points that has been made to us while we've been investigating this story is, 911 receives this tremendous volume of calls every year, about 13 million calls. A large proportion of those calls, are accidental calls. They're not even real calls to 911. Of the calls that are genuine emergencies, the vast majority are police-related emergencies. It's a smaller percentage of calls that are for fire emergencies. But of those fire emergency calls, they're seeing more errors in them now because the operators who are handling them just don't handle as many of them. And what used to happen is prior to the UCT system, a caller would call with an emergency. The initial 911 operator would ask, what borough, what's your emergency? And then immediately that call would be sent to a fire alarm dispatcher in a borough-based location. And that fire alarm dispatcher would have intimate knowledge of both the borough and how to respond to fire emergencies.
But Robert, since you're reporting on the union, on the workers, Chris just said in his phone call that there was one previous workforce that had a lot of experience that seems to be recently replaced by a younger, less experienced workforce. Did I understand him right?
No, it's the change with UCT was to streamline the call-taking process, and that was to have just one person on the call, the 911 operator, who was an NYPD employee. What would happen before UCT came was that that 911 operator would take a call seconds later if it was a fire call, turn it over to a fire dispatcher who would then gather the necessary information. What happens in the end of 2009, after some bugs, the city did bring the fire dispatcher back on the phone call. But just at the end of the call, after the information had been gathered, and so the fire dispatcher was sort of in what the union calls a mop-up role just to verify the information.
And yet, during the Bloomberg administration, city officials pointed to improved response times on average under the new 911 system as a way to defend that overhaul. So were those numbers wrong or falsified?
They were confusing. The union's complaint about those response times were that the response time would start when the fire dispatcher took the call. So prior to UCT, that response time would start maybe seconds after the call started. What happens with UCT is the city was not counting the response time that the 911 operator was taking the information. That's that was the union's complaint. So that response times looked very low, but the union was saying that's not true. Now, as of December, the city passed a law that measures response time from end to end, from the time that the caller calls 911 to the time that the first fire unit reaches the scene.
We should say that the city's lawyers have accused the union of xenophobic resistance to change, that's a quote, and that this is about protecting union jobs.
That is their contention. They also contend that this system is the best, that responses have improved, and that they defend UCT.
The mayor this week, Bridget, and forgive me, let me jump in and play this because we're going to run out of time soon. He announced a halt to this overhaul project and a 60-day review because this project was ongoing. Some of the things that we've been hearing about have been already implemented, and we hear how unhappy some people are on the front lines with it. But some of it was still in the process of being instituted. And here is just 9 seconds of Mayor de Blasio on this 911 system delay yesterday.
That is our same 911 system that, thank God, in the overwhelming majority of situations functions very, very effectively. So that continues. Nothing will change on that front.
So what did he actually do this week, Bridget, and what will be different as a result?
Well, First Deputy Mayor Tony Shores sent a memo out saying that they have put a halt to the 911 upgrade project. That means there will be no more spending on the project, no more contracts, and that there will be a full review of the upgrade of the system. What that means, you know, is work that's in progress is not going to, you know, no further progress will be made. What is not changing are any of the operational procedures as of yet. They are going to be investigating them. We know there's going to be the 60-day review. Could there potentially be changes in the interim? Possibly, but we'll be waiting to hear more information. And, you know, we are very interested in talking with City Hall about their review. We think it's an important part of the story, and we've made several requests and hope to do that soon.
So there'll be a part two.
There was a part two.
Well, today was part two. Yesterday was part one.
And there's a city council hearing on the whole UCT issue next Friday. So I'm sure WNYC will be there.
We certainly will be.
Investigative reporter Robert Garrity, thanks for your help on this. And WNYC's Bridget Bergen, together they've been reporting this story on problems with the 911 system based on call records. And again, listeners, you can hear some of these calls for yourself. We have the audio links on our website at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. And also, of course, at WNYC.org, you can hear the two parts of this report that originally aired on the radio yesterday and this morning. Brian Lehr on WNYC. Coming up next, NYU in Abu Dhabi. Construction problems there and labor rights issues at their gleaming Mideast campus. Stay with us.